From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
One dimension of my friendship with today's guest is a years-long ongoing barter. She shares her cooking expertise with me and my extended family, and I give Alexandra Stafford and her husband gardening advice. It's a pretty sweet deal. And today, Allie, creator of the indispensable AlexandraCooks.com website, is here to swap asparagus wisdoms because 'tis the season. But first, these messages.
Programming and underwriting support from Garden Tool Company. Garden Tool Company's wide selection of heirloom quality tools for your gardening passion is backed by outstanding customer service, fast shipping, and ongoing support. GardenToolCompany.com. Programming and underwriting support from Brushwood Nursery. For more than 20 years, Brushwood Nursery has shipped the finest selection of clematis and other vines all over the United States with full gallon-sized plant and free shipping. Their website is full of beautiful pictures and information on growing clematis. BrushwoodNursery.com.
On her Alexandra's Kitchen website or her extremely popular Instagram account, at Alexandra Cooks, Alexandra Stafford is always teaching, whether a technique that provides the aha we need to unlock the secret to a recipe, or how to use the best of the moment recipe ingredients in inspired combinations, especially vegetables and herbs. And if you haven't tried her no-knead bread recipe, that's the foundation of her cookbook, Bread, Toast, Crumbs, well, you need to. Hi, Allie. How are you?
Great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You baking some bread over there?
Always.
I know. And you've got my whole family baking bread.
So fun. It's so nice to hear. I love seeing all of your nieces' creations and your sisters and brother-in-law. It's so fun.
Well, as I mentioned in the introduction, you've been a constant source of cooking wisdom for me. And then in this last year, this crazy year, my family in all our different houses, you know, I had bought everyone your virtual cooking classes during the pandemic. Aww. And we'd all meet up there and learn to cook. And then we'd have our family sort of reunion on Zoom after and so forth. And wow, like my brother-in-law is baking your bread and making your recipes. And my niece, whose diet not so long ago was like college dorm food, I think.
She's like, amazing. I love seeing hers, I think, in particular, the most.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, you got converts, so thank you. So I'll give a link to your classes, your whole kind of cooking school that you're doing virtually, with the transcript of the show on awaytogarden.com. And also, let's give away a copy of Bread, Toast, Crumbs, because it's so great. So we'll do that with the transcript, too. So asparagus, has it been showing up at the farmer's market?
It has. I went to the Schenectady Green Market on Sunday for the first time in ages. It actually made me sad thinking about how long it had been since I was there last. But it was a beautiful day. And I have to say, it felt so alive. I mean, there were a ton of people out. And the farm stands, they were just, I feel like they were teeming with asparagus. There were a lot of ramps, rhubarb, all of the like tender, like the baby spinach, baby Swiss chard, baby kale, just so much good stuff. It was so fun. I came home like with two huge bags loaded with stuff.
And I think you already subscribed to a CSA probably. So boy, oh boy, I bet you have a lot of vegetables in the fridge right now.
I do. My CSA doesn't start until June and then it goes. Yeah. So I don't have any. This is sort of my in-between season because if you do the winter season, I think you get it's like 3 40-pound deliveries of root vegetables and you get your last one in February. So I've been kind of without a CSA or coming in regularly for a few months now. So this was a real treat.
Interesting. Well, I remember, I don't know, a week or two ago, or I've lost track of time, as we all have this last 14, 15 months. But I remember your sharing an anecdote and about someone bringing you some fresh asparagus from his garden and that you had never eaten raw asparagus before.
No, yes. So it was one of your readers and he lives near me and he emailed me a few weeks ago saying, because you had done a newsletter, I think, telling people how to prepare their asparagus beds for something about weeding, I think, and getting them ready for this season. And he emailed me and said, as promised, I'm going to bring you some of my asparagus. So he dropped off it was about a pound of asparagus. And it was one of those like revelations that you just, when you see something like that just so fresh. It's almost impossible not to just taste it raw, but it's not something I would experience in the grocery store, you know? And it was so good. Yeah. So I made right away, and I had had my eye on this salad from Joshua McFadden's Six Seasons for a long time, but it's a raw asparagus salad with toasted walnuts, breadcrumbs, Parmesan, olive oil, lemon, pepper flakes. And it's so good. It's like, it's really like addictive. It serves four, and Ben and I just polish it off, like, you know, no problem.
Ben being your husband, who's the budding gardener.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And we've been thinking of you because he's pulled out your book a lot he does all the gardening. I really don't take much part in it except for watering and stuff, but he's started tomato seeds and he's started a lot of lettuces in the basement and they're looking really good. Almost ready to transplant them.
When I saw you, I think it was on Instagram, and what's one of the great things about, well, there's many great things about your Instagram, but one of them is that you do these little video things, like especially in your stories and so forth. Uh-huh. And you just really like cut to the heart of the technique thing, you know? And so if you said to me what you just said, Joshua McFadden, raw asparagus salad, and you name the ingredients, I'm thinking I'm chopping up the asparagus crosswise. Do you know what I mean? Because for a lot of things, you would do that, right? You know, you just have chunks, but that's not it.
No, right. You want to cut these as thinly as possible, and slicing them on the bias really helps with that and gives you these kinds of long angular shapes that are really nice for this purpose. It is a little tricky. I think I've heard from a couple people since I posted that they have to work on their technique with cutting it thinly, but I think as long as you cut it, you know, pretty thinly, it's fine. In fact, I have tried making this when I've just shaved it with a peeler, and it's actually too thin. So even if your slices are a little bit thicker than ideal, it will still be fine. So I just tell people not to worry and push on.
Push on, yes. And it helps to have a sharp knife too, which I think is one of the, you know, a lot of us think regular folks who aren't professionals, a lot of us think we have poor knife skills, which maybe we do, and I probably do, but we also sometimes don't care for our equipment as well as someone who's in the business knows that you have to, because, and it's the same way, you know, if I, as a gardener, I know when it's the pruning shears that are out of shape and when it's me who's doing the wrong thing. Do you know what I mean? I know what it's meant to feel like when it's working.
Right.
So
a sharp knife is super helpful with this, because otherwise you'll end up really bruising the asparagus and getting these not so pretty shapes.
Yeah. So do you sometimes just roast asparagus, or what else do we do with asparagus besides, and being a gardener, of course, I know to eat it fresh because some of it never makes its way into the house from the garden.
Yes. I'm sure. Yes. No. Yeah. I feel like honestly, as the season gets on, I get lazier and lazier and I end up just roasting it at like, you know, maybe 425 with olive oil and salt. But I just pulled out my Canal House Cooks Every Day for some more inspiration. And they have a recipe, very simple, 400 degrees, toss asparagus with olive oil and salt and pepper, roast it at 400 degrees for 20 to 25 minutes, then out of the oven, shave it with either Parmesan or Pecorino, and then it's a very classic preparation. Drizzle it with like an aged balsamic, like a syrupy balsamic, and it's so simple but so delicious. I could eat the whole pan just like that. And if you don't want to buy like expensive aged balsamic, you can just take store-bought balsamic vinegar, like a quarter cup, put it in a little saucepan and simmer it until it's reduced by about half or even maybe a little bit further until it's syrupy. And that will work just as well. But so simple and just a little bit different than, you know, roasting it with olive oil and salt and pepper. And I often will just like squeeze. The balsamic sort of serves this purpose, but if I don't do the balsamic thing, just squeeze some lemon and that's really delicious.
Right. Have you ever seen an ingredient called saba, S-A-B-A?
Yes, I have. And I always forget what it is. It's like the musk, or is it something with grapes?
It's similar to what you just said would happen if you reduced the balsamic. Okay. It's like almost like a thick and almost a syrupy, and it has that flavor also. And it's just, and I never see it anywhere anymore. When I used to live in New York City, in some of the specialty markets they had, and it was so delicious because it's that thickened thing. It doesn't, you know, like the balsamic, it can get very watery if you put, if you want that. So anyway,
Joshua McFadden actually in his book has a recipe for roasted cabbage, and he calls for drizzling it with saba out of the oven. And I never have it, so I do that sort of trick, the reduced balsamic instead. But I've got to find some.
Yeah, it's good stuff. We'll have to, we'll ferret out the source. We will. So, you know, one of the things I just do with it, besides roasting it, which you said, and besides eating it raw in the garden, which I said, is sometimes I just, you know, it looks nicer if you do it, if it's for company or whatever, if you do it in like a fluted ceramic tart pan, you know, but it could just be a baking dish, you know, a regular sized, you know, nine by whatever, Pyrex type of baking dish. And I just lay the spears in and chop parsley over them and scramble like two eggs real quick, you know, not scramble as in cook, but whipped, beat two eggs and put that over and then put Parmesan, grated Parmesan over it and just put it in the oven and just bake it, you know, until it's like, and it's just a little bit of egg, you know what I mean? It's just to hold it together. And and it feels special, but it's not special, you know?
Totally. I feel like egg is one of those things that's just like a good match for asparagus for whatever reason. And in so many forms, it could be a poached egg, a fried egg, hard-boiled egg, chopped up, or as you said, you know, like, you know, almost like quiche-like, or it's just, they go together.
So when you get it at the farmer's market or whatever, and you bring it home, do you store it in the fridge? Everybody has their two cents about this.
Yeah. So your reader, Richard, who dropped off the asparagus to me, he dropped it off in these two cups with a little bit of water. So the spears were standing upright. And I feel like I've read about storing that it like that over the years and just never did it. And I find, I think also I just, my fridge is always so loaded that storing it in the fridge like that has always kind of seemed like it would be a little bit precarious. So I've just been storing it at, I stored his at room temperature. Of course, I ate it almost immediately, so it wasn't stored for that long. But some of the asparagus that I brought home from Sunday from the farmer's market, they're still standing upright in their glass. I just put it in a mason jar with a little bit of water, and I just stored it at room temperature, and they've stored beautifully. You know, that's not, you know, a super long time, but it's a decent amount of time, and they don't look as if they're showing any signs of deterioration. So I think if your kitchen is cool enough, you probably could just keep it at room temperature. And if you have space in your fridge, you could store it in the fridge. And I've been reading in a few of my cookbooks, just they say they have suggested that upright method. And then if you don't want to do that, you could just wrap it in a damp cloth and then stick it in a bag and store it in your vegetable bin.
Right. Yeah. Because of the tipping over thing with the water vessel, I use a tall vessel, but I only put a little bit of water in the bottom and I put it in the door of the fridge in one of the, mean? Like, you know, where a milk container or a pickle jar would go so that it holds it in there. So it doesn't go flying in the rest of my very disorderly fridge.
No, that's totally smart. And
Put a piece of plastic
When I've had it at room temperature, my cats have been going after the jar. So getting it into the fridge would actually be ideal.
Yeah. And I usually loosely put a lightweight plastic bag over it or something. And that, you know, just makes it last extra long. But
nice.
So any other inspiration food wise for asparagus?
I have a few favorite recipes that I make every year. Mark Bittman has a risotto recipe that's really nice, especially if you love asparagus and you like things like risotto. You use the asparagus two ways. So you blanch like the stalks for about 5 minutes until they're pretty overcooked. You set those aside and you eventually puree those. And then you blanch the tips, like the really pretty parts, just for like a minute and set those aside. And then you end up stirring the puree into the risotto at the end, and then you fold in those beautiful little tips at the end as well. And the original recipe, I think, either calls for chicken stock or vegetable stock. I use the water that I blanch the asparagus in for it, so it's just a super asparagus-y flavor. But so again, so good with Parmesan, some pepper, and just really nice this time of year.
Mm, I'd like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so many good things. I sent you a picture of my focaccia gardenscape, which was very pretty, but it was, that was not quite a success. I shaved the stalks and used that as sort of like the grass of the focaccia gardenscape, and then kept the spears long, and I used some spring onions from the farmer's market as well. And I have shaved asparagus and put it over pizza dough, and in 5 minutes in the oven, it's totally fine. But 25 minutes in the oven, some of it was great, like the little tips that got kind of charred tasted great, but everything else kind of tasted a little stringy and a little burnt, and the top of the focaccia didn't get totally cooked. So it was a fun experiment. I've seen so many of those focaccia gardenscapes over the year, and I've been meaning to try. So it was fun, but not a huge success.
If people haven't seen them, it's kind of like decorating the surface of your focaccia in the pan. And in this case, it's almost like you made a forest or a garden using asparagus as the trees or the grass or however you want to think of it. And like you said, some spring onions up in the sky and so forth. So you sort of decorated it.
Yes.
But
no.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Another just really simple thing people can do if you're just trying to add vegetables to like a pasta dish is, and again, this is kind of the revelation you have after you've eaten it raw, which is that it needs very little cooking time. But in the last minute of when you're cooking a pasta, last minute, just throw in, cut up asparagus spears into like 1-inch pieces, drop it in the pasta cooking liquid. It cooks for 1 minute and then drain it. And then you can, whatever sauce you're using, you just, you have this extra vegetable component, right, which is nice.
Right. And I love that with green beans, at green bean season, I do the same thing, which is just at the last minute while the sauce is bubbling, for that last minute before I toss it on the pasta, I put in, 1-inch pieces of green beans and boom. And it's just this extra thing. And it's so delicious. So.
Yes. Yeah. No, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I've been trying to convince, or I am trying to convince you and your husband, Ben, to plant asparagus and make room in your emerging, getting bigger all the time garden for asparagus. And it's a bit of an investment crop, as you probably know. I had a 30-year-old plot, and over, say, between year 25 and 30, it was petering out, and I was in denial because, you have to do the work. It's kind of a big space. And last spring, in early pandemic mania mode, I was like, oh, I can redo my asparagus this year. And so I ordered 50 dormant crowns. They come in packs of 25, and you buy them in the winter to be delivered first thing in the spring, as soon as your area thaws, kind of.
Okay.
The earliest spring is when they're planted, these bare root crowns. And they come in packs of 25. So if you want two different varieties, like I love the purple, but I also wanted some of the green. So you end up with multiples of 25. It's too much for one person, but whatever, I went a little out of my mind.
Okay.
and it's pretty easy. You have to dig this trench, which is like 12 inches deep and 12 inches wide, approximately. Okay. And you space these crowns, which look like octopus to me, out. You spray it into sort of in the bottom of the trench, 18 inches apart. So it's 12 deep, 12 wide, 18 apart within the row. And you cover them with a couple of inches of the soil that you've mounded up on the edge of this trench that you've made, and just a couple few inches. And then once they sprout, you backfill a little bit more and again and again and again until you're up to level, So it's really a pretty easy thing, and the trench doesn't have to be perfect, But yeah. And so there's lots of theories about when it's okay to pick from a new planting. And, some people say, oh, you can pick a few spears the first year. But I decided to wait. So it was really hard. I had these 50 plants, and they sent up a spear or two or three, and I didn't pick them.
Oh,
and I'm going to let them all go to ferns.
So that's what you do. You let them flower? Or what did you say, go to fern?
Well, the spear will, they'll make foliage. They'll put up, fronds, they're not actually ferns, but they look ferny. So they make these big, tall, beautiful, on very thin wands, these ferny looking foliar things. And that's how the plant nourishes, by conducting photosynthesis, nourishes the roots below and gets more robust. And the row starts to spread. You know, you get more shoots the next year and more shoots the year after that. If you cut off the fronds, those ferny things, if you cut off the, they're not fronds, again, I shouldn't keep saying that. If you cut off the foliage, it diminishes the sustenance that's going down to those roots, which is where your spears are going to come from. So, you know, you don't want to do that. Just like you don't want to cut off the foliage of a daffodil bulb after the bloom is done, because you want that foliage to feed the bulb for next year to make,
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't pick any. I was really well behaved.
Yeah. Good job. That's so hard. I think I would have a really hard time doing that, because is it 2 to 3 years that you're supposed to wait?
Yeah, I'm going to pick in the second year after planting. So, yeah, okay. Which would be the third year to be in the ground, but it would only be its second anniversary. Yeah. So I'm going to pick next year. Have you ever had the purple stuff, the purple kinds? I love the purple ones.
I think at some point I have, you know, seen them at the farmer's market and had a hard time resisting buying them because they're so pretty. But just occasionally, not a lot.
Yeah, I used to grow purple passion, which was, I think, the original purple. Now there's one called sweet purple. And the sweet being indicative of the fact that they do seem to taste a little sweeter even.
Ooh,
they're delicious and they're
nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So anyway, just I hope you guys are going to make room for one and plan for it this winter and put in an order. And, you know, it's good to have the space ready before the order arrives. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, and actually in some ways it's actually less maintenance if you don't have to pick them the first year, if you just let them go to, you know, in some ways that would actually be something we could handle. So
right, it's an investment and you just have to keep it weeded, you know, so that it doesn't compete. That's all. So in the last few minutes, you said you were naming all these other things that were at the market. Swiss chard, did you say?
Yes, this is my favorite time, I feel like, actually, for salads, because it's like the kale is so tender, the Swiss chard is so tender, and you can use really any dressing you want on these greens, but they taste, I mean, I came home from the market and the kale just, it tasted so sweet. And I mean, I love Swiss chard too. I know it's not everybody's favorite, but eating Swiss chard raw was also kind of a revelation. Like, I feel like everybody knows, like, the kale salad craze made everybody, you know,
right,
know that they could eat kale raw, but you can do the same thing with Swiss chard, just remove the ribs and you can save the stems for something else. You can saute them. But you just, you know, I like to, almost like the way you chiffonade basil, just thinly slice the Swiss chard leaves.
Yes.
And then the dressing I use is from Meryl Stubbs from Food 52. It's like a really lemony dressing and it's kind of very similar actually to many of the recipes in Joshua McFadden's Six Seasons. There's a lot of there's toasted breadcrumbs and Parmesan, a little crushed red pepper flakes, and it's such a good salad. It's so good.
Huh. And so the only vegetable ingredient is the Swiss chard? I'm sorry, did you say?
It is, yes. It's just the Swiss chard. But you could do it with any of the tender greens would work. That's sort of, I mean, and I love all those tender greens too, just for same similarly to the asparagus trick of just dropping them in the water. You can just pile them in a colander and then dump the pasta water over it. So you're not really cooking it. You're just kind of blanching it in the hot water. And then you just have this, you know, you can add like a pound of vegetables to your pasta really quickly.
Yeah. Among early greens, do you like sorrel? Have you the lemony taste of sorrel leaves?
Yeah,
have you eaten those?
I don't see it that often and I haven't had it a ton, but when I have had it, it's been delicious.
Okay, because that's another one that is as old as my old asparagus plot and my rhubarb. Those three things are like 25, 30 years old, and they're perennials, all of them. I mean, the asparagus does peter out eventually because we pick it. But but that's another one that I want to get you and Ben to grow is some sorrel, because that'll come back every year. And boy, when those greens come up, it's practically just as the snow melts, and they are so lemony and delicious and wonderful.
Oh. I had no idea that they were perennial. That would be amazing.
Yes. The green one is. Yes. The one that has like red veins in it is very pretty, but it doesn't, in our northern climate, it doesn't tend to last as many years, but yes.
Okay.
So sorrel, we're making a row. I'm going to come over and we're going to do it.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Rhubarb,
I would
sorrel,
love that.
And asparagus.
Oh my gosh, that would be a dream, truly.
All right. Well, Allie, thank you for the cooking inspiration. And I've got to go now and buy some asparagus because I'm not going to pick mine. And I hope I'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Programming and underwriting support from Brushwood Nursery. For more than 20 years, Brushwood Nursery has shipped the finest selection of clematis and other vines all over the United States with full gallon-sized plant and free shipping. Their website is full of beautiful pictures and information on growing clematis. BrushwoodNursery.com. Programming and underwriting support from Garden Tool Company. Garden Tool Company's wide selection of heirloom quality tools for your gardening passion is backed by outstanding customer service, fast shipping, and ongoing support. GardenToolCompany.com.
And thanks to all of you for listening in too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy asparagus meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.